try to stop me. Shake me up in my mind. Say, prove to me that he's Lord. Show me a sign. What kind of sign?
Welcome to the Revelations Radio Network. My name is Chris. Thanks for tuning in. You can go to the website, which is revelationsradionetwork.com, and you can go to my personal site, which is nowheretorunradio.com, and you can contact me there. My email address is nowheretorun1984@gmail.com. I've got a lot of stuff to do today, so I'm just going to start talking and just reading from my notes here. Don't really have a lot of structure going on today, but We'll just see where it all goes. A few show notes first. I just got done doing an interview yesterday with Derek Gilbert from PID Radio and his podcast From the Bunker. And we talked about 2012, and it was a really awesome show. And I really felt like it was one of the better interviews that I've done about 2012 or about anything. And so that'll probably air in about a week, if I understand correctly. I think he's going to try to air it December 21st to be a timely date for, obviously, the December 21st, 2012 supposed date of all that stuff. So look for that. And that was really a great time. Derek, to me, he's just like one of the more professional people that in like alternative radio. It seems like no matter what you throw at Derek, he can always like find a way to like transition it into like some kind of relevant thing. Or whenever he does interviews, they're always just so solid, and he seems to be really paying attention and on the ball. I just think he's probably one of the more professional guys out there, and I think that he's a great person. I think PID Radio is like the kind of thing you can like show people that aren't really convinced about like all this stuff that, you know, we talk about, and you can give them PID or have them subscribe to PID or From the Bunker and be like, okay, I think I see what you're saying now. You know, it's like a good transition, good way to wake up your parents. I mean, I only mean that in the sense that I actually, with my dad, I like showed him like PID, and he's like, oh, are these guys married? It's like, yeah. It's like, they're having so much fun. This is great. I could listen to this when I'm jogging. It's like, yes, isn't it great? And now you're going to learn about all this stuff. Okay, next I wanted to mention something that might very well help somebody else out there, so I thought I would mention it. My girlfriend has had, over the years, you know, she's had different medical problems, nothing major, just sort of aches and pains and symptoms and feeling this way sometimes and not this way other times. Just seemingly unconnected sort of medical problems, but there's always been the sense that, you know, she wasn't, you know, 100%, and that she's been dealing with it for many years, and we've always tried to figure out what it was, and it seemed to be many things, so it was always really a difficult process trying to research what it was and whatnot. And so recently somebody that she knew had mentioned that she went to, and this is somebody that my girlfriend had been talking to about like eating organic and stuff like that. My girlfriend's really into eating organic food because one of her symptoms was that she would actually feel, she would feel like the effects of not eating organic food like pretty immediately. She would feel bad about it like physically and stuff, and determined probably that there was something to do with the liver there. With that, not doing something with toxins, probably good enough. But anyway, so she was talking to this person about it, and that person went and found this doctor that was like a real medical doctor, but just happened to be really into trying to heal people with vitamins and things like that instead of necessarily drugging them up. I don't guess he's opposed to giving them, prescription or any other kinds of drugs It was just that the preference was to try to analyze and fix the problem. And I think this particular lady's problem was something to do with the thyroid, and so he had sort of done something that none of the other doctors were doing and doing tests that none of the other doctors did and really had fixed this lady and her problem. And so my suggestion to my girlfriend was to go to this doctor and just get like super, super blood tests and like every kind of test and have them run all these tests on her and see what they could see. And, you know, not having any particular thing wrong, just say, hey, what's wrong with me kind of thing. And they ran all these tests and it wasn't that big a deal or whatnot. And they came back with all these results about what she was like deficient in and things like this. And they basically prescribed her a bunch of vitamins that we went and bought at like Wild Oats, or I think what they call it, Whole Foods now, at least around here. And so we went and bought all these vitamins, and it was like, I mean, we spent a lot of money on vitamins, but all this to say that all these problems that my girlfriend has had over you know, the 5 years that I've known her have been totally gone. I mean, she's been taking, like, she's had some heart problems and liver problems and all kinds of stuff that has just been apparently a matter of, you know, well, I don't know what the root causes is, but at least it's getting, some of these vitamins won't need to be taken anymore after their initial fixing and stuff like that. So my recommendation to you, and I'll tell you, it is, I was trying to find this for a friend saying, oh, you need to find one of these in your area. And I was trying to figure out, well, how do you, what's the search term to search for a doctor like this? And I started looking around, and I found that was an incredibly hard search to do, because you run into, like, well, homeopaths and all these kind of different, like, doctors that aren't really doctors, that are just sort of like natural healing, because natural doctor and all this stuff, that'll lead you into, like, quackland, you know? So I found a search term that I think works pretty well, that you can find actual medical doctors that are interested in healing people, or finding, I guess, the root causes of things. And that is the search term vitamin therapy. And so try vitamin therapy if you're looking for a doctor. And I think if you can find a doctor that you get there and he's like, hey, okay, first of all, you know, just don't drink Diet Coke, you know, don't take vaccines or drink fluoride. Then you're like, hey. And I would also recommend that if you can find a doctor like that, that's concerned about what's really wrong with you and not really concerned about what drug to give you, then that's a good person to keep around, because most, at least there are a lot of states, have a medical exemption or for vaccines for your children and things like that. And all you need to get that medical exemption is a note from your doctor. So finding a doctor that's sympathetic to the cause, if you will, can really get you very easily out of having to give your children vaccines. And if you have any questions about that, you can go to my website, HendersonvilleVaccineAwarenessNetwork.com. HendersonvilleVaccineAwarenessNetwork.com, the longest website in the history of websites. Okay, let's talk real quick about the DVDTract.com website. In case you don't know, the DVDTract website is a place where I put together just different movies that are great for evangelism purposes, and also teaches you how to burn them to discs to be able to hand them out to people, and encourages people to do just that, to hand them out wherever they see the opportunity, whether it be on cars or to individuals. But anyway, so I just got done with two updates to the site, one of which is a DVD tract for Muslims. And the process in that was really impacted me in the sense that, you know, I was watching a lot of testimonies from former Muslims, and really just impacted me about everything, and it reminded me of this sort of presentation that I'd seen of a guy named Sammy Tanaga, who wrote a book called Good News, My Muslim Friend, God Loves You, I think, or something like that. Good News, My Muslim, Happy News, My Muslim Friend, God Loves You, or something like that. His name's Sammy Tanaga. But he does a really excellent job of presenting the case that God plans on saving a lot of Muslims here in this last time. That he shows very clearly that this is something that God is doing, that he wants to be doing, and that his whole philosophy is that there needs to be more people doing it because God wants it done. He's just going to be using whoever's willing to do something like that. So anyway, I was thinking about that, and I was, after watching these testimonies, I was really impacted. There was the first one that I put on there is a very amazing testimony. If you get a chance to see it, you can also see that one on my YouTube site. And I've uploaded it there, so it's a really great one. I think it's called like A Muslim Man's Amazing Testimony, or something like that. Anyway, so I made the Muslim tract there, and I encourage you to check that out if you know anybody that's a Muslim that it would be good to give to them. In addition, the other update that I made to the site was wrote out a transcript of the DVD tract. Somebody had asked for it in another language. I think this one was Russian and Czech, and that there obviously is other languages out there. So if anybody wants to do that, I will work with them as far as making the video and everything. If you want to do a transcript or even the audio track, on that one. If you want to do an audio track of the translated version, I would be happy to put it to the video and sort of make it fit with the timing and everything like that. So that's that. The other thing is similar to that, which is this new video that I just put out called The Arrivals and the Wake Up Project Debunked. Okay, so The Arrivals is a 50-part movie that's on YouTube. And The Wake Up Project is sort of the website created or behind The Arrivals. And they also are coming out with a new movie here later this month called Phase 3. And this has been featured in some places, like World Net Daily, I think, did a story on it not too long ago. This is a pretty popular video. It's not crazy popular yet or anything, I think, but it is extremely well known. What it basically is sort of a New World Order explanation sort of thing for Muslims and kind of zeitgeist for Muslims as well. It's got some very, the thing about this whole thing is that it's extremely close to everything that I've been saying as far as their views about a whole lot of things are very, very similar to mine. It's the truth told in this series is pretty extensive. They are aware of the spiritual aspect of these things and everything. It really just comes down to their view of the return of the Mahdi and the Antichrist and Isa, or Jesus, the Muslim version of Jesus. Now, this is kind of where it gets interesting in that what's being prepared, in my opinion, is for these individuals to worship the false prophet Antichrist system. And so that's the main focus of the debunking. That's what I really want them to take out of this. But I'm sure a lot of toes are going to get stepped on, and I can already see that the initial reactions of it are going, it's going to be a pretty interesting situation. One thing I wanted to talk about for the people that may be listening to this that are wondering a question that seems to have come up more than I would have thought it would have come up, but I do want to address it here for those people. People keep saying that, hey, Chris, you need to rewatch the movie. The Wake Up Project isn't trying to endorse the story of Zeitgeist, because I start the video off, as we'll see here in just a minute, with talking about Zeitgeist and saying it's not true and these are the reasons why. And they say, well, Chris, they're not trying to endorse Zeitgeist. They're saying Zeitgeist is wrong. But this is just totally wrong. Let me explain why. In part 36 of The Arrivals, called The Story of Jesus, basically what they do is for 5 minutes play Zeitgeist. They just whole cloth play Zeitgeist clips for 5 minutes. And Then at the end, they continue to endorse it, saying, and Horus was also called the light of the world and all this stuff, which isn't true. I mean, it's obviously not true, but, you know, it doesn't really matter, I guess, for some folks. And so they continue to endorse it in this way. But what they do is then they play a video that looks like it's made in the 70s or something of the Muslim sort of Passion of the Christ, which is... a totally different story. Gabriel breathes just a little bit of extra spark of life into Mary, certainly nothing more. It makes a point, nothing more than given to regular men. And she gives birth by this tree in the desert and comes back and the baby talks and all this thing. It's a totally different story is what I'm trying to illustrate. And they're saying that this totally different story about a Jesus who talked when he was a baby and, you know, is just a prophet and not God, and he didn't die on the cross. This totally different story is the one that's pure and is not like the ancient gods. But they clearly are saying that the Christian version of Jesus, this nasty one in the Bible, now that's totally corrupted and just an amalgamation of all the pagan religions. So they're absolutely endorsing Zeitgeist for the Christian version of Jesus. So they can kind of talk out of both sides of their mouth and say, oh, we think Zeitgeist is bad and clearly wrong for the Muslim version of Jesus. So it's confusing to people. They're saying, you know, you're not paying attention. Well, I would suggest that you're not paying attention in regards to that particular claim. And so what I'd like to do is ask those of you that are sort of the praying types, and that's how you support the show, by your prayers. So I would ask you to pray for this situation. Pray for the Wake Up Project. Pray for those people in it. And just ask the Lord to do something amazing with it, and people could be saved, that there could be a revival even in the Muslim community, just anything that the Lord wants to do. So I ask you to join me in that prayer, and so that's all I have on that right now. So what I'll do is I'll play the audio from that video very quickly, and I'll see you on the other side of it. It's only about 8 minutes long. Before I get started, I will state some areas in which I agree with the Wake Up Project. Number one, that the New World Order system exists and is conspiring to create a world government. Number two, that the elite of this group are united primarily by Satanism, or at least Luciferianism or spirit worship. Number three, that the alien UFO deception is demonic in nature. Number four, about the infiltration of religions by the Babylonian mystery schools. Number five, about the coming of the Antichrist and a Messiah. And number six, about the importance of grassroots activism. Before I get to the main problem with the Wake Up Project, I will bring up the following. Something that needs to be considered if someone believes the Wake Up Project is that the Zeitgeist story of Jesus depicted in their movies is not actually true. The first real parallel of the kind that the Zeitgeist movie shows does not appear until more than 150 years after the origin of Christianity. That is, that these stories are made up after the fact. If you read the ancient texts, like the Bhagavad Gita or the Mahabharata for Krishna, or the accounts of Horus in Egyptian texts, or for Mithra or Buddha, or on, you'll find that they were never said to be crucified or that they were born of a virgin and things like this. These ideas are very recent things, originally promoted by Freemasons and occultists, and for a very specific reason that I will discuss later. That is why the Zeitgeist movie and their big list of references didn't show any actual ancient texts to prove their claims about the characteristics of ancient gods, but instead recent books by Freemasons and Druids and Luciferians. See the video They Are Misleading You now to see that what the Wake Up Project wants you to believe is nothing more than part of what the secret societies call the externalization of the hierarchy. They believe that to prepare the world for what they call the World Teacher, they must indoctrinate truth-seekers, and eventually regular people, into their religious beliefs. And Zeitgeist Part 1 is nothing more than what I like to call Mystery Babylon for Dummies. And its purpose is to give the public a particular view about ancient avatars. This will play a pivotal role in their acceptance of a world teacher, after what will seem like a time of transcendence and rebirth. And before you think that you will know when the time comes that this will be an imposter, let me explain why this will not be the case. This is not a minor thing. If you believe in the Wake Up Project, you must have an answer for why it is selling you the Freemasonic version of history. And worse than that, something that is so easily proven to be false. All you have to do is to read the ancient texts. In fact, there are several places online that will pay cash for anyone who can prove these claims. I will link several places in the description section of this video for you to immediately investigate my assertion. And again, this is no minor problem. And before I move on to the biggest problem with the Wake Up Project, I want to address two ways that the Wake Up Project ties the Christian version of Jesus to the New World Order. The first thing that they do is point to all the pagan symbolism that the Roman Catholic Church has added to Jesus after it took over Christianity, 300 years after Jesus' time. They show the sun symbolism in recent paintings and point to things like the December 25th solstice date that Rome, not the Bible, said Jesus was born. But a reasonable student of history would know that these things were added by the Romans after the emperor took over Christianity and are not in the Bible at all. They added all this pagan symbolism and holidays in order to appease the pagans in Rome. But the Bible says absolutely nothing about any of that. They, of course, knew that it didn't, and this is why, for 1,000 years, they did not allow the common man to own a Bible, but only to trust the priests about what it said. You can see how easy it is to make people think that Jesus of the Bible is pagan nowadays. All you have to do is point to all the pagan baggage added to Jesus by men, but not to the Bible itself, or the theory falls apart. Please see the description section for more information on this. The constant use of the Hadith verse saying that the Antichrist will have one eye. As far as the Antichrist having a bad right eye, I could probably go along with that. The book of Zechariah, probably written 2,500 years ago, of which there are copies dating back to 75 BC, made the prophecy that his arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened, Zechariah 17. And also some passages in the book of Revelation reveal that he will have a head wound that will be miraculously healed. Now, in regard to the symbolism of the New World Order having the one eye, I totally agree. The symbolism of the eye is very important to them. The only problem is that if the Wake Up Project convinced you that the one-eyed system that we now collectively fight is the Antichrist system, then all the real Antichrist will have to do to get you to worship him will be to destroy the system, and therefore become your savior. It's pretty basic psychology. The final Hegelian dialectic, as I showed in the video, the 2012 deception presentation. This is exactly the way he plans to get us to let our guard down, to gain our trust, and eventually our worship. The real Antichrist must destroy a fake one to gain our trust. In fact, the Luciferian who coined the term the New World Order and founded the Lucius or Lucifer Trust wrote, "The New World Order must be appropriate to a world which has passed through a destructive crisis and to a humanity which is badly shattered by the experience. The New World Order must lay the foundation for a future world order, which will be possible only after a time of recovery, of reconstruction, and of rebuilding. The real New World Order will rise out of the ashes of the one we have been taught to hate. The more we hate it, the more we will love the one who delivers us from it. This has been the plan all along." Read Albert Pike's quote on World War III in the description section. Now I will show you what the biggest problem with the Wake Up Project is. It actually can be best explained with a symbol. This is the double-headed phoenix that the New World Order awaits. They believe their world teacher will arise out of the ashes of the old world order. That's why it says, order ab cow, order out of chaos. And this is the same beast that if you believe the Wake Up Project, you are also waiting to worship. Let me give you proof that this is true. The Wake Up Project is aware that the Mahdi they describe seems a lot like the Antichrist of the Bible, and that's why they made sure to say the following in the film The Arrivals. The extremist Christians will state that the Imam Mahdi is the Antichrist Dajjal, and the extremist Jews will state that the Imam Mahdi is the Antichrist Dajjal, and the extremist Muslim Sunnis will state that the Shia Imam al-Mahdi is the Antichrist Dajjal. The extremist Muslim Shias will state that the Sunni Imam al-Mahdi is the Antichrist Dajjal. The film then gives you only one reason that you can know for certain that the Mahdi will not be the Antichrist. They say, Imam al-Mahdi will never claim to be the Messiah or the Christ. But here is the huge problem with that. The other head of this phoenix of the New World Order represents the false prophet of the Book of Revelation. He won't claim to be Christ either, and his job is also to co-reign with the false return of Jesus, which is exactly like the Imam Mahdi according to the Wake Up Project, who they say will rule with Isa, the return of Jesus, who they say will then defeat the New World Order. He also implements the Mark of the Beast system for the first beast. Don't you think that it's a little strange that you have been told to await the very same thing that the Freemasons and the Satanists are waiting for? And before you say that this prophecy was corrupted, remember that there are fragments of the Book of Revelation 150 years before Constantine or the Catholic Church even existed, back when Rome was feeding Christians to the lions, and 400 years before the Quran was written. What will look like a utopia and the end of wars will only be a short time of peace before the real trouble begins. In the Bible, when Jesus returns, he destroys the false prophet and the Antichrist. In the Bible, Jesus was asked what would be the signs of his return, and he started his two-chapter answer with these words, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you not be troubled, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." It seems from this that Jesus was trying to warn us that there was something that was going to happen that had to do with the return of a false Christ and wars that would make us think that the end was yet. I will conclude by asking you to go to the description section of this video and checking my facts. And if you are a Muslim, please consider watching some of the videos I will link about other Muslims and their search for the truth about all of this. I'm sure you will find them interesting. If you have any other questions about the Bible and its credibility, see the description section for links about the science of textual criticisms and other methods for finding the truth about ancient texts. Peace and love to you. My only intention here was to prevent others from being deceived. Any mistakes I have made are my own fault, and any truth that I have said is because the Bible has said it first. Okay, and I'm going to finish out the show by playing about an hour-long clip from Sammy Tanago. He's got a book out called, like, Glad Tidings, My Muslim Friend. God Loves You, I think, is the name of it. But you can find it by his name, which is spelled kind of odd. It's S-A-M-Y, Sammy Tanago, T-A-N-A-G-H-O. And I saw him speak not too long ago, and it really impacted me, so I thought I'd just share it with you. It's about an hour long, and I hope you enjoy it, and have a good rest of the week, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.
God bless you with wonderful people to serve you. So many people were early in the morning trying to get everything set for the service, and good spirit, you know, smile in their faces, excitement that this is a day that God's going to bless more people. We have a sinful nature. God forgave all of our sins. Am I grateful that God forgave my sins? And he still forgives my sins when I fall short. Life is short. God gave us eternal life to enjoy and share his presence and glory and kingdom forever. Think about it. Wow. I don't deserve to spend one day in heaven, but God gave it to us. And God put his spirit within us, and his spirit tells us heaven is our home and destiny. I'm looking forward to die. It's going to be awesome in heaven. God is telling all of us, as I chose Abraham and blessed him, so I can use his life as a blessing to all the families of the earth, I chose you and you and you and me. And you up there, God chose us and blessed us and will bless us forever because he loves us, but essentially included in his eternal plans because he want to use our lives as a blessing to so many families. Don't ever forget that. Don't make my mistake when I was trying to walk with God and serve him. God was not using my life. I thought, well, I better focus on myself, my career, my prestige, making money. No, God wants us to believe that he blessed us because he wants to use our lives as a blessing. To so many families, where you live, where you work, where you shop, wherever you go. And because God brought me to you and God brought Muslims to you from all over the world, they come to California, largest Muslim population in America. Make no mistake about it. God would love to prepare you to use you as a blessing through divine appointment to some Muslim families. Now, we know Genesis 17 that God promised Abraham to bless Ishmael. That's a promise. Genesis 17, 20. And we know from Genesis 16 that God promised Hagar to multiply her descendants exceedingly. Wow! Exceedingly. And then verse 11, God himself named Hagar's unborn son Ishmael, which means God hears. And the same verse tells us God heard Hagar's affliction. And the next verse, Genesis 21, God heard Ishmael crying. And God does not want us to enjoy his blessings and ask him to give us more, and ignore the cry of the people that don't know him. God wants us to feel the pain, the suffering of the people that bound by sin and Satan that we meet. And God wants us to share with them the most important thing that happens to us, experiencing God's love and God's salvation through faith in Jesus. And God wants us to hear the cry of Muslims. Most of the Muslim people, since they were children, they have been taught the wrong information about God. You have been taught the most accurate information about God. Muslims are in an opposite position. They are sheep harassed without a shepherd. Even though they are God-conscious people, they want to please God, most of them, but they don't have the right information about God in their book, the Quran. They don't have the right teachers. They are like Cornelius. They fear God. They want to do good things. They want to fast. They start their fast now, and they want to help the poor. They want to do good things. But they don't know how to have the right relationship with God because they don't know who Jesus is. That's why God wanted to use Peter to tell Cornelius about Jesus. But before God can use Peter effectively, God needed to help Peter overcome his prejudice against God-fearing men like Cornelius. I'll give you an example about Muslims. One of our secretaries at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, Rachel, was organizing a mission trip to Mexico. She needed two vans for a couple of days. She found a Muslim man who rents vans. And as soon as he knew that she want to use the vans to go to Mexico, he asked why, and she told him, we are doing a mission trip to help the Mexican people. And they told her, who are you? She told them, we are Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. And they told her, oh, since you want to go help these poor Mexican people, the vans are free. That's an example. I can give you so many stories like that, being born and raised with Muslims and dealing with them all the time. In Genesis 21, do you guys remember this beautiful emotional story? When Hagar and Ishmael were dying from thirst in the desert after they ran out of water. Do you remember what happened? God himself intervened, told Hagar, do not be afraid, lift up Ishmael by the hand. I will make into him a great nation. And by God's personal intervention, their lives were saved. This story tells us that Ishmael's birth was not just simply, merely a mistake Abraham did. Because if it were just simply a mistake, God would have let them die. Don't you agree with me? Thank you. But since God saved their lives personally through a miracle, opened Hagar's eyes and she saw a well of water, then God told us from the beginning that he has marvelous plans, awesome intentions, from the birth of Ishmael and his descendants, namely Arabs and Muslims. 1,000 years after Ishmael's death, his name and his first two sons' names, Kedar and Nebaioth, were carefully recorded in the genealogies of the holy text of 1 Chronicles chapter 1. Kedar and Nebaioth. Isaiah 21 links Kedar, one of Ishmael's son, with the Arab people. And by the way, Muhammad came from the line of Kedar, what Muslims view as their prophet. Very interestingly, we have an amazing prophecy in Isaiah 60. All Kedar's flocks will be gathered to you. The rams of Nebaioth will serve you. They will be accepted as offerings on my altar. You know what makes this prophecy very significant? The time it was given, Kedar and Nebaioth had been dead for about 1,000 years. Aha! Clearly this prophecy refers to the descendants of Kedar and Nebaioth. About 3 years ago, God spoke to me and my wife and told us to start a non-profit ministry. It's called the Glad News for Muslims, to evangelize as many Muslims as possible effectively and to encourage and equip as many Christians as possible to do the same. The first question we had, which Bible verse should we put in our letterhead? God gave us the same Bible verse immediately. John 10:16, Jesus said, I have other sheep, are not of these sheep pen. I must also bring them, and they will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock, one shepherd. I want you to know today, God wants you to know today, that multitudes of these sheep are the flocks and the rams of Kedar and Nebaioth. Arabs and Muslims will be gathered with their families to the Messiah's fold. They will be saved in the day of the harvest. Let me give you more evidence now. Not only God's plan to bless all the families of the earth, but specifically Arabs and Muslims. Jeremiah 49, God said, I will set my throne in Elam. I will restore the fortunes of Elam in days to come. Isaiah 19:21, God promised to save Muslims in Egypt, my country, over 50 million Muslims. The Lord will make himself known to the Egyptians. In that day, they will acknowledge the Lord. Isaiah 19:25, God said, blessed be Egypt, my people, your people. That's what God said. Assyria, which is present-day Iraq, the works of my hand, Israel, my inheritance. Many of you remember in Acts 2 when Jesus' disciples were filled with the Spirit. You remember this famous event. They talked about God, communicated the gospel to people from many nations, including people from Libya, Egypt, and the Arab people. You read that in Acts 2. God loves the American people? Absolutely. God showered his blessings upon the American people, and God using the American Christians especially as a blessing to many people all over the world. God loves the Jewish people? There is no doubt about that. We know that from the Bible. God loves the Jewish people and working in their lives and will keep working in their lives until the end. But God doesn't stop there. God also loves people from Libya. Does it matter how weird their government is? God loves the people from Iran. Does it matter how bad their government is? God loves the Iraqi people. Doesn't matter if they like us or not. God loves the Egyptian people, and most of these people are Muslims, and God does love the Arab people. Most of them are Muslims. Very interesting verse in Revelation 5 tells us that believers in heaven will come from every nation, every tongue, every ethnic background. Now, why that is important in regard to Muslims, I will tell you why. Because right now, every 4 or 5 persons living in the world today, one of them is a Muslim. Muslim population doubles every 20 years. Muslims are growing very rapidly all over Europe. They will be the majority in Europe in a few decades, and growing very rapidly all over America. I can give you many examples. I was speaking in Calvary Chapel, Gainesville in Florida. The pastor told me the University of Florida next to us has between 10 and 15,000 Muslim students. I told him, stop talking, let's go, give me a few people from the church and let's go to the university with some of my materials. I spoke in a non-Calvary chapel, a church in Colorado, in Loveland, Colorado. It's called First Covenant, something like that. And they told me, we only invite people from our denomination to come and speak, but we made an exception I told them why. They said because University of Colorado next to us receives about 5,000 new Muslim students from Saudi Arabia every year. And we don't know what to do with them. And we discovered that God is using your ministry, so we want you to give us whatever God gave you. I can tell you so many stories about the growth of Muslims in America. In Orange County, we have about 500,000 Muslims. Every place I go with my wife in Orange County, we meet Muslims. L.A. next door, we have about 800,000 Muslims. I brought a DVD. Hopefully, you can see it when Pastor Gene decides it's a good time about the growth of Muslims in America and Europe and all over the world. About 7 minutes DVD. Now, I want to make a point here. Since Muslims are growing very rapidly all over the world, in Russia, in a few years, about 40% of the Russian army will be Muslims. I mean, you know, growth is unbelievable of the Muslim people all over the world. Since this is the case, and since the Bible tells us that people from all over the world will be in heaven, and since we have clear prophecies that Muslims and Arabs will know God, then the conclusion is multitudes of Muslims will be in heaven. I see it like I see you right now, and God wants you to know that. The only question that remains to be answered is who God will use to tell them about Jesus. That remains to be answered. Now, part of the big picture that God wants you to see, most of the churches in America are not involved in witnessing effectively to Muslims. Most of the pastors in America know nothing, do nothing about communicating the gospel effectively to Muslims. They reach their neighbors, but when it comes to Muslims, I'll give you an evidence. The Christian leaders in America spend billions of dollars to re-evangelize people in America, the average non-Christian American who had been evangelized before thousands of times. And the Christian leaders in America don't spend perhaps 1%, maybe 2%, I don't know, of their time, talent, budget to communicate the gospel effectively to Muslims, whether in America, Europe, Asia, or Africa, who have never been evangelized one time in their lifetimes. Most of the churches in America remain untapped reservoirs for Great Commission potential, especially for witnessing to Muslims. I was speaking in a conference of Middle Eastern leaders, and one of the speakers, main speaker, his name is Richard Vera. He is a multi-ethnic evangelist of all the Southern Baptist Convention in California. I think his headquarters in Fresno here. After the conference, I gave him my materials, and he listened to it and the book and all that, and he thanked me. And then he wrote me an email to say, most Christians respond to Muslims in either one of two ways. They keep a distance from them because they feel inadequate to witness to them. They don't know how. Two, they keep them at arm's length out of suspicion or fear or anger. Most Christians in America avoid Muslims. Now, this part of the big picture hurt me, especially when I talked to a pastor in the phone, and then he said, yeah, I know about your ministry, but thank you, no. We don't have big Muslim population around us, no, thank you. It was so refreshing to talk to Pastor Gene the first time, and he said, yes, okay, I'll bring you. You are coming. It was so good. Let me tell you something. Very few pastors in America are like that. Can you imagine how blessed you are to have a pastor that 100% according to God's heart, in harmony, natural for him to say yes? I talk to so many pastors. I talk to so many pastors every week to tell them that it's important to prepare your people, equip your people, to give your people information that will encourage them to witness to Muslims and to give them information to communicate the gospel effectively to Muslims. Very, very, very few of them are open to that. Why? Because they do a good job, pastors, in reaching their neighbors, and they think, oh, our neighbors are not Muslim, so this is not really something important. This is something only for you to do. Oh, for me to do? Let me tell you something. My experience shows most of the emails, actually all the emails I get about Muslims coming to Christ, they did not come through me. They came through average Christians that I shared with them, and I gave them what God gave me. God want to use the church in America. He doesn't want to use only me. And that brings me to the thought, sometimes I think about this selfishly, and I think, wow, the less Christians are involved, the more God is going to use me. Think about it. No wonder why God is using my small ministry to bring so many Muslims to Christ from many parts of the world. Simply because not too many people are doing it. Can you imagine that? Something God wants to get done and not too many people are cooperating with Him. I feel like I discovered a gold mine that not too many people. So sometimes me and my wife sometimes smile and happy. You know, the less people are involved, the more we're going to be rewarded in heaven. The more we live, the more we're going to be used by God, and the more God's going to reward us in heaven. But about 3 years ago, God said, stop, don't reach Muslim by yourself. Go to church. I want you to go. Give what I gave you to the body of Christ. I can talk to you for days about how God is working to attract the Muslim to Himself. But let me give you one example. Do you guys remember the Passion of Christ movie? Do you remember before the movie was released, a big rumor got out there that the movie is anti-Semitic, against the Jews, against the Israelis, and the Jewish leader protested. You remember that? Now, you and I know the reason Jesus was crucified was not the Jews. This was the fulfillment of the prophecies. Jesus came to be crucified. God is a just judge, and He must punish the sinner. And since man is the one who sinned, man is the one who must pay the penalty. And the penalty is death, because our sins are committed against a holy and righteous God. But because God is love, He decided to take an additional nature, a human nature, and to come through the person of Christ. And on our behalf, God Himself paid the penalty for all of our sins. The reason Jesus was crucified, because God wants to provide for us a way that through faith in Him, we can be united to Him, and we can be saved from paying the penalty for all of our sins. However, God used this rumor that the movie is against the Israelis, against the Jews, to get most of the Muslim leaders very excited. I'm glad Gene is here. He's there. This was one of my best jokes, you know. Thank you. As soon as the movie was released, most of the Muslim leaders paid a lot of money to buy the movie, put it in their theaters, and actually told their people, go watch what the bad Jews have done to the good prophet Jesus. You're talking about 800, 900 million Muslims ran to the theater to watch what the Jews have done to Jesus. And I got reports that they were crying like babies, multitudes of Muslims. And the talk of Muslim towns for weeks and months, guess about who? About Jesus. The Muslim leader said, enough talk, questions about Jesus. Get the movie out of the theater, throw it in the garbage. It was too late. It was too late. You know, I wrote my book before 9/11. I revised it 6 times. Because God spoke to me to add stories and parables that will illustrate the biblical teaching in a way that Muslims can feel. Because most of the Muslim people are extremely emotional people. They are different than Westerners, different than Australian, Canadian, European, and Americans. In America, you know, Americans are very good in controlling their feelings. In America, my boss, working for the County of Orange, sent me to take a class, how you control your feelings. What's wrong with my feelings? You know, I thought she is kidding. She said, no, I'm not kidding. You're going to take that class. You know, in America, your boss can drink coffee with you and talk with you very nice, And next day you are fired. That happens to me. I knew that from experience. I used to work as a waiter. I was doing a good job. I ate with my boss, and the company was expanding, opening new restaurant. And the next day after we ate, he told me, Sammy, I told him, what, John? He said, we decided to let you go. I told him, thank you. Where are you sending me? You know, I thought he's sending me to another branch. He said, no, come pick up your check next week. My check, what happened? We just ate together yesterday. It was an emotional shock. I mean, before your Muslim boss is going to fire you, you're going to see it coming. It's going to... Americans have a different way of doing things. Especially, I was doing a good job. I told them, I treat customers like I want to be treated. I loved everybody. He said, Sammy, don't take this personally, please. 2 months later, he told me, it was not because you did not do a good job or we did not love you or anything, but you did not fit with the team. I told him, what do you mean you did not fit? I loved everybody. He said, yeah, but you talked about Jesus with the waitresses every day. They hated being around you. You did not fit. You are not part of the team. No, they came to have fun. No, we had to let you go. Where is my point? Yeah, my point is, Muslims are extremely emotional. Anyway, don't feel sorry about me. God gave me a promotion. I got a job in the government. You never lose when you lose for Jesus. This is my experience in life. You might lose in the immediate time, in the present time, but in the long run, God will make sure that you are rewarded. God gave me a promotion, a job in the government, because I got fired. And I got fired from the first government job for the same reasons. I used to share a devotion every morning with my section, and that was in the tax department. And God got me another job in the government that I love. The tax department job was horrible. Looking horrible. You never lose when you lose for Jesus. Even if you make mistakes while you are living for Jesus. My point is, God used the Passion of Christ movie, the most dramatic emotional method, to penetrate 800, 900 million Muslim hearts and prepare them to feel the message of His love and salvation. And He used a Catholic actor, Mel Gibson. That was God. That was God. Don't you agree? That was God. God did it. Let me give you some good news. In the past 40, 50 years, something like that, more Muslims have come to Christ than in the past 1,400 years. Let me give you a few examples from my own personal experience. Recently, I spoke at Antioch Calvary Chapel in Philadelphia. I was going inside the church. One of the worship team stopped me, and he said, I was a Muslim. I read your book 5 years ago. Now I am in the worship team. After I finished speaking, a big man, his name is Aaron, came to me and he said, I entered the church as a Muslim, but now I believe in Jesus Christ and I prayed with Pastor Aaron. I told him, thank God you are a Christian now. You never know when a Muslim coming to beat me. My wife told me, I don't mind if you walk in front of me. You know. Sometimes after I speak in a church, you know, somebody come to me and said, Sammy, are you Sammy? I said, yes. They said, praise the Lord. I said, oh, thank God. Not my time yet. I want to get more rewarded in heaven. I want to live a few more years. Where is my point? Yeah. Calvary Chapel Folsom, Pastor Mike Flander gave me a call. And they said, we have an Afghani woman. He is close to Sacramento. Can you fly to Sacramento to witness her? I said, yes. And he said, while you are here, can you record a DVD, 1 hour about Jesus? I told him, sure. So I flew to Sacramento, and we invited her with her daughter to dinner. And then I asked her to attend the recording session of the DVD. She became born again. She attended Calvary Chapel for some with her daughter. Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. Pastor Bill Walsh, I spoke there while I was organizing my table. A lawyer came. His name is Jeff Osborne. He told me, I gave your book to so many of my clients. Many of them came to Christ, or some of them came to Christ. I always carry two copies from your book. I can tell you story after story. Bangladesh, Pakistan, Indonesia, millions and millions and millions of Muslims came to Christ. Sudan, about 3 million Muslims came to Christ. Egypt, my country, about 4 to 5 million Muslims came to Christ. One of them is my wife. Born and raised as a Muslim, majoring in Islamic study, one of the most prestigious Islamic universities in Egypt, Dar al-Ulum, became born again. They noticed she is different. They asked her, why you do this? Why you don't say that? She told them, I am a follower of the prophet Isa now. Jesus called Isa in the Quran. They told her, this is unacceptable. They brought her to the headquarters office, brought religious leaders, Muslim professors. They told her, you have to forget about Jesus and say, I am a follower of Muhammad. She told them, I can't. Let me tell you what happened to me. I had a burden on top of my shoulder. And I did not enjoy peace with God, even though I was praying 5 times a day as a good Muslim. But I read the Gospel of John, and I read what Jesus said in the Gospel of John, and what he said in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I start talking to Jesus. I start believing in him, that he died on the cross for my sins. I invited him to come to live within my heart. I invited him to answer my prayers. I prayed to Jesus, and now I feel that I am a child of God. I have peace with God. The burden on top of my shoulder is lifted up. I don't feel lonely anymore. I feel that God is with me every day. I enjoy God's presence. They told her, that's enough. If you don't forget about Jesus and say, I am a follower of Muhammad, you will suffer and you will die. We will try to make you, we'll apply Islamic law on you. And she told them, I don't want that to happen. He told her, do you want to suffer? She said, no, I don't want to suffer or die. But I cannot deny Jesus, because I cannot deny what happened to me. That's what happened to me. How can I deny Jesus? They threw her in prison. God connected her in prison with three other ex-Muslims. She met three other ex-Muslims. Our church was the largest Presbyterian church in Cairo, Qasr al-Dubara. It's a good conservative Presbyterian church. Pastor Meniz, he's still the pastor, visited them in prison, prayed for them, asked the believers to pray for them. God strengthened them. They start singing Christian songs every night. They attracted most of the Muslim prisoners. And they asked them, why you are singing? The place is filthy, the smell is horrible, and you will be executed. We read that in the newspaper. They told them, we are singing because we feel God's presence. We have a good relationship with God through Jesus. Don't worry about us. If they killed us, we are going to heaven. You need to talk to Jesus to help you in your problems right now. Many of them talked to Jesus. Many of them got born again. And before they executed them, God used the American government, Congress, to put pressure on the Egyptian government and set them free. Why God is working in the Muslim world? Because God is love. In Proverbs 8, God said, my delight is with the sons of men. God loves people and he longs to enter their lives to give them the best life possible on earth. And God enjoys spending eternity with as many people as possible, including as many Muslims as possible. You remember Jesus said in Luke 15, there is a celebration in heaven when one sinner repents. Party time, the angels are dancing, the choir is playing. And that's why God came, became a man, stripped naked, spit upon, beaten, tortured, crucified. God so suffered because he so loved who? The whole world. We know the greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Have you noticed what Jesus said to the Jewish man? The second greatest commandment, Before he told them, love your neighbor as you love yourself, he told them, the second greatest commandment is exactly like the first one. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Which means it is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself is equally important as love God, according to Jesus. Why? Because I can't love God and bring Him pleasure, cause celebrations in heaven, make people benefit from His suffering, and ignore my neighbor. Because that's how God gets His pleasure, because God is love. The church in America cannot tell God, we love you, and ignore our non-Christian neighbors, and ignore Muslims. Because Muslims are our neighbors. According to realities, they are growing everywhere. They are in the soccer field. They have supermarket where they buy their meat, special kind of meat. They have stores. They have dresses for Muslims, stores, dresses for Muslims, bookstores. They have their world that we can go to and find them. And they have their mosque, place of worship. Muslims are our neighbors according to the Bible, the Good Samaritan parable. And also according to Disneyland. It's a small world after all. Now, God wants to save Muslims, not only the good Muslims like Cornelius, but also the bad Muslims. The Muslims that are fanatic. The Muslims that don't love us, even hates us. God still wants to save them. That's why Jesus said, love your enemy. And when they were crucifying him, he did not ask God to kill his enemies, but he asked God to forgive his enemies. And don't forget, before the Apostle Paul, he became the Apostle Paul, he was Saul. He was persecuting Christians, arresting them, killing them if possible. And God forgave him, loved him, made him the Apostle Paul. God wants us to penetrate our enemies' territories and love them and set many of them free. There are cultural differences. American culture is different than the Arab and the Muslim culture. One example, American culture say, give me my space. See how many chairs are empty here? I did not ask you to come forward because that will make you feel uncomfortable. Because you need your space. Muslim culture, oh no, let's get together close to each other so we can see each other. And if we see each other, we want to talk with each other. Closeness, family close, church members, everybody is close to each other. American culture focus on achievement, accomplishment. American people are very smart people. They are gifted by God to accomplish great things. American people went to the moon. I don't know why they went to the moon, but they went to the moon. I still can't figure that out. Now, the Muslim people are not task-oriented. The Muslim people are people-oriented. What does that mean? It means the most important fact the Muslim wants to discover from you or from the church is, do you love me? Do you love our people or not? Do you love us as Muslims, as Arabs, as much as you love Americans and European and Jews? Or do you love us less? Most important thing. When you meet a Muslim, first thing you do, smile. Second thing you do, tell him, Salam Alaikum. Mean peace be upon you. Salam Alaikum. And then ask him to eat with you. Tell the Muslim, let's eat something together. You have 15, 20 minutes, Muslim will tell you, yeah. Tell him, oh, how about we eat something together? Muslim will tell you no, three times. But you must insist. You must tell him, I would like to eat something, I don't like to eat alone. If you don't eat with me, we're going to have a problem. I am not going to eat. Let's eat, let's eat, let's eat. The Muslim will smile and say, she loves me, he loves me. Imagine how many nights I went to bed hungry when I came to America. No one insisted. Muslims are God-conscious people, as I mentioned to you. However, one of the chapters in my book, I titled it, God is Love. I made a comparison between the description of God in the Bible versus the Quran. In the Bible, God promised all true believers in Jesus to enjoy His presence, His forgiveness, to know that they are going to heaven and to have a love relationship with Him, according to the Bible. According to the Quran, God said, all believers are slaves and I am the master. Even Muhammad himself did not know that he is going to heaven. Muslims are frightened from God. They are sinners and they need a savior. Muslims are ripe for the gospels because most of the Muslim people don't love each other, they hate each other, and in many Muslim countries, Muslims are killing each other, like in Iraq, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Lebanon, Palestinians killing each other, Arabs killed more Palestinians, more than Israel did, and the list go on and on and on. In the past 40, 50 years, Muslims have been doing soul searching and thinking that and discovering that the teaching of the Quran and the Muhammad failed to give them good relationship with each other and good relationship with God. They are looking for answers secretly. That's why God wants to equip all the churches in America. That's why God told me, forget about the California bar exam, write that book, give answers to the questions that Muslims have. That's why God used His word and these answers to save many Muslims. Because many of them are ready. They already don't believe in the Quran or Islam. But they don't understand the Christianity either. They don't know what we are talking about. Do we believe in one God or three gods? What is the Trinity make sense or not? Why Jesus is God made manifest in the flesh? Why He is our only Savior? And they have many good questions. And many of them ready to receive the answers. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How can they call on Him whom they have not believed? How can they believe without hearing? And how can they hear without you and me? And how can they preach unless they are sent? And that's why God brought me to you. Not to do a Bible study, business as usual, but to give you something that will equip you to do the works of the ministry. Now, I want to finish now. My time is up. But I want you to listen to God, what God wants you to do to be part of the process in taking Muslims to heaven before you go there. By the way, this is not my ministry. This is our ministry. This is our ministry. This is the church ministry. Maybe God wants you to pray for my ministry. Oh, believe me, this is my most important need. Because I have challenges that I cannot face alone. And I have opportunities to get the gospel to millions of Muslims. And I need God to open the doors and enable me to take advantage of the opportunities. Maybe you can introduce my ministry to another pastor. Believe me, I need that very desperately. Maybe pastors will listen to you more than me. I need prayer also to be full-time in the ministry because I still have my government job and I am raising support. So hopefully my support will be completed next year and I can be full-time. Oh, by the way, if God put in your heart to help my ministry with one-time donation, write the check for Glad News. If God put, but it has to be beyond your tithing, above your tithing. If God put in your heart to help my ministry with $12 a month, above your tithing, this is very important to me, then we have electronic monthly donation form. You can write $12 here and give me voided check or credit card number, and my ministry will take $12 from you. Right now, it will be used in the ministry. But when that money reaches a certain amount, my board will ask me to quit my government job, buy my own medical insurance, and be full-time. Maybe God wants you to get a book, a DVD. I have two CDs that will equip you. The book is $15, but because I love Pastor Gene, it is $14.95 today only. this is not my fault. I learned that from Americans in Orange County. Americans get away with it. No, Jean was right. The book, pay whatever you want to pay. If you want to pay $15, good, you are helping me. If you want to pay 10, pay 10. If you want to pay 5, if you don't want to pay anything, I still want you to take the book. I want to be your missionary to Muslims. I want God to use my life in the most way possible so you can bring Muslims to Christ. And I know that God has been using the book, and I know that God will provide divine appointment to you. Either give the book to a Muslim or give it to a Christian who knows Muslim or to a pastor. I want to end with this. You know, my family told me, Sammy, you are a loser, you are a failure. Most of them still think I am because I don't own a house or a nice car or I don't have a good job. But you know I am not a loser. You know why? Even though the focus of my life was in the ministry, the county job is office assistant, is a tent-making job, copying and filing, the bottom of the ladder. It's a tent-making. And I refused to get a job in the legal department, so it will not put demand. You know why I did not turn out to be a loser? Because Jesus said, he loses his life for my sake will find it. I want to encourage you to lose your life in walking with God, believing in God's word. Live with God and obey God by faith, even if you lost your life. Because then you will find the life that God created you to live, and then God will use you. And that will be the most interesting and exciting and the best thing that can happen to you. When God uses your life. Because you will be very excited about living. I look forward to waking up the next day. I look forward to looking at my emails. I look forward to getting news about Muslims coming to Christ. Who am I? I am an average Christian like all of you. I am not even full-time in the ministry. But you walk with God, you trust in God, you obey God in the best way you know how. Even if you are average like me, actually I am less than average. English is my second language. My wife doesn't speak English, she doesn't work. I mean, we are less than average, but God is using our lives. And if God can use our lives, how much more he can use your life when you walk with him. Just believe, when you walk with God, believe that he will use you as a blessing. One more thing, my wife told me, don't forget to mention that. Pray for our ministry also, because we need a home, we need a house. For a few reasons, we need to receive ex-Muslims that came to Christ and lost their families. Sometimes we get a full call from a desperate woman or man that need a place to stay for a few months. And we need in the house to have a couple of offices and the storage area. So pray that God will bring us, maybe not through donations, maybe a rich American man to donate a house or to donate a piece of land or something. So pray for that, because that is an urgent need that we have. But most importantly, walk with God and trust in God. Let's pray, and then Pastor Jean maybe will close us with a final word. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to you, God, for Calvary Chapel Hanford. I am grateful that you brought me here today, God. Thank you for Jesus Christ, most importantly, for forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And thank you, God, for all your blessings. God, today we want to tell you, we love you. Help us to love you more. Today we want to tell you, we believe in you, that you will use Calvary Chapel Hanford in a powerful way as a blessing to so many families here in the community and even Muslim families, God. And if you never received God's love, if you never put your faith in Jesus that he died for your sins, today is a good day. Just tell God, thank you for loving me. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for my sins. Come and live within me, Jesus, and be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, let's stand together. Let's stand. We went to the moon so that we could have aluminum foil. That's the answer to that. So anyway, the guys are going to be here to pray with you. God bless you. Grab some of Sammy's material. He's serious about that, whether you can afford it or not. Get that material. This was an introduction to get us excited about what's happening in the world today, and that material will equip you. God bless you. See you next time.